This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil khalqi wal mursaleen Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We're up to Hadith 15 from Al-Imam An-Nawawi's Arba'in An-Nawawiyya. Today is a very important Hadith. It's a well-known Hadith. And it's jam-packed with lessons. This Hadith, in a nutshell, deals with character. Prophet ﷺ said, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him speak good and remain tolerant. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him honor his neighbor. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him honor his guest. So it's about honoring people. It's about speaking good, not harming them. So therefore, it deals with character. So that's really in a nutshell what Hadith 15 is about. And the Prophet ﷺ linked it with Iman. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, and that's part of Arkanul Iman. So therefore, character is linked to Iman. We're going to touch upon that briefly, although we have discussed it in the past. But we're going to look at, more importantly, the relevance of mentioning whoever believes in Allah and the last day. Why the last day? Why not whoever believes in Allah and the angels, whoever believes in Allah and the messengers? So we're going to look at that, the importance of the last day, and that why it's a recurring theme in the Quran. And we'll look at just one aspect from Surah Al-Zalzala, which is relevant today. Then we're going to actually take the hadith, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Whoever believes in Allah and last day, let him speak good or remain silent. What does that mean, speak good? We're going to look at that. It has two parts to it. And then the next part, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him honor his neighbor. Another hadith, فَلَا يُؤْذِي جَارَهُ. Let him not harm his neighbor. Then we're going to look at who is the neighbor. We're going to look at particular etiquette and the rulings pertaining to the neighbor. And then, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him honor his guest. So we're going to look at who is the guest Islamically. What are some of the rights of the guest? How do you honor the guest? What do you do? What do you say? And not just the guests, the manners of the visitor themselves. So we're going to look at the manners of both parties, because this is very important, because sometimes people come over, they visit, and they don't know how to visit. Their manners stink. And maybe some things they may ask, things they may do in your house is inappropriate. So we're going to look at the manners of the visitor themselves. So although that's not mentioned in the hadith, but it's related. And like I said, I'm always going to give you extra things from what you're going to learn from this hadith. Otherwise, if I just wanted you to read, then I would have said stay at home. So let's start with Hadith 15. Who would like to read? Anyone? Although I read it for you, but yallah. Tafaddal ya Abu Bakr.
An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala: Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut. Wa man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim jarahu. Wa man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim dayfahu. Rawahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim.
MashaAllah, very good. I don't even have to repeat that. It's excellent. However, I will, as usual.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت.
Abu Huraira narrates that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him speak good or remain silent. In other words, only speak when your words are more beautiful than your silence. However, there are exceptions. There are exceptions at times where you can speak, not necessarily because your words are good in and of themselves, but you're speaking for a higher purpose, and that is to prevent awkwardness or an awkward situation, like an awkward silence. Sometimes you and someone else are just sitting there. You're looking at him, he's looking at you, looking at him, and it's very awkward. So here, you break the ice and you'll mention something. Like, how's the weather? It's good. So even though there's no real substance, it's not really words of goodness like Islam and dhikrullah, but you're saying that, why? Because you're doing that to break the ice, and it's a noble purpose. So you don't feel uncomfortable around so-and-so, and that's okay. Especially if, for example, you're going to get married, and you go over to the wali's house, and the wali's there, he's staring at you like that. Because you want to marry his daughter. So staring at you the whole time, right? And so you'll say something to break the ice, or someone will say something to break the ice. I see this poor miskin is sweating, and the father is just staring. So someone will come and just talk about dunya, and that's okay, as long as what he's saying is not haram. So we're going to look at that in more detail in a moment.
The hadith continues. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, falyukrim jara." Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, let him honor his neighbor. So, at best, honor your neighbor. There's another hadith. Because this hadith is Rawahu al-Bukhari and Muslim, it means there's another narration which is similar in words, but of course, same meaning. فَلَا يُؤْذِي جَارَهُ. Let him not, whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him not harm his neighbor. In other words, at best, honor your neighbor, and at least, don't harm your neighbor. So if your neighbor is a Muslim, alhamdulillah, you can honor him. Even if it's a non-Muslim, because he didn't say جَارَهُ Muslim. So he just kept it open. It's called nakira. Therefore, it's not specified. It's not restricted to Muslim. Muslim or non-Muslim, honor your neighbor. Be good to them. Show kindness, send them some food. We're going to get into this in more detail, of course. However, just to give you a rough overview, and if you don't want to honor them, then at least don't harm them. At least don't harm them. That's another narration. And the hadith continues, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَ. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him honor his guest. So we're going to take the rulings and issues pertaining to who is the guest Islamically, and how do you honor them, and also manners of the visitor, as we've already established. So that's a hadith. This is hadith 15 in a nutshell. Once again, you can see that this hadith deals with character and it's linked to Iman. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, showing us once again the importance of Iman and character. We've highlighted this many times, but once again, as you can see, this is a recurring theme. Therefore, just as we place great emphasis on Iman and Aqidah, which we should also place great importance and emphasis on, character. You know, some brothers, Allahu musta'an, when it comes to issues of wala, bara, aqidah, yani the brother is staunch, he's firm, and he applies it so strict, which is awesome. But when it comes to character, it stinks. Swearing here, backbiting this person, and causing arguments here. So some people, this is an imbalance. And that shows you they're not the best of Muslims, they're not the best. No matter how much knowledge of Aqidah and Iman you may know, and no matter how many deviant groups you may refute, if your character stinks, you're not the best Muslim. And who said this? The Prophet ﷺ. Because he said, the best of believers are those who have the best character. In other words, if you don't have the best character, you're not the best of believers. So we've already touched upon that many times, and we're not going to dwell on that any further. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Notice the hadith is whoever believes in Allah and the last day. It's not whoever believes in Allah and the angels. It's not whoever believes in Allah and the messengers. It's not whoever believes in Allah and the books. Why last day? Many reasons. This comes a lot in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Because number one, on the last day, you'll stand before Allah. You see how they are linked? Whoever believes in Allah and the last day. So on the last day, you're going to stand before Allah. So that's clear. That's one way they link intricately. Another way is that belief in the last day, person who has proper belief in the last day, means they have proper belief in Allah. In other words, to deny the last day, to deny accountability, to deny al-ba'ath, the resurrection, you've disbelieved not just in that, you've disbelieved in Allah. Sah? That's why the mushriku of Quraysh were kuffar, even though they believed in Allah's existence, his wujud. They would call their children Abdullah, sah? Abdullah. The Prophet's father was called Abdullah. So even the kuffar of Quraysh believed in Allah, but they only believed in his existence. They didn't have total iman. So they only believed in his existence, right? And some, of course, parts of rububiyyah and asma' sifat. But really, they were disbelievers. Why? They were disbelievers. Why? Because they, among many reasons, of course, they're shirk, but also because they denied the day of judgment, the last day. And that's what we know as iman. Even if a person, irhamukullah, so even if a person fulfilled all the four categories of Tawheed, what are they? Rububiyyah, Asma'u Sifat, Uluhiyyah, and Allah's Wujud. Waiting for Hakimiyyah. Allah's Wujud. Allah's Wujud. 7 minutes we pray, yeah? Can someone tell me? Can someone time maybe 3 minutes? 3 minutes from now? So give us 4 minutes. Start, yeah? So to believe in Allah means to believe in Allah's wujud as well, existence. So of course that's implied, but therefore it's important to mention. In other words, a person who denies Allah's existence is a kafir. But why are we saying that? Because just to believe in Allah's existence is not enough for iman. So therefore, even if, let's just say, a person had all four parts or all aspects of belief in Allah correct, but they rejected the Day of Judgment, they're still kuffar. So that's clear. But also, why? Because belief in accountability means you're going to watch your deeds. You see? When you believe in the accountability, you're going to watch your deeds. You're going to watch what you say. You're going to watch what you do. So therefore, you can see character. You're going to speak good or remain silent. You're going to honor your neighbor. You're going to spend from your wealth to honor your guest as well, because you believe there's accountability. You know, when I'm spending, I'm going to be reimbursed by Allah Azza wa Jalla. And even if I don't want to spend on them, at least I'm not going to harm them, because I fear Allah, there's accountability. So a person who rejects accountability, they basically do what they want. Waikum salam. A person who rejects accountability, they basically say, you know what, I can do what I want. I'm not going to be held accountable. But when a person knows there's accountability, they watch what they do. Like at work, when a person knows that the boss is watching, there's accountability. They're not going to check their Facebook status during work hours, or WhatsApp, or go on a 5-minute smoke-o, because their boss is watching. Now, they shouldn't be smoking, period, but you get the idea. Even on the roads, there's accountability. You speed, you're going to get caught. There's a red light camera, for example. So when people know accountability, it literally puts a stop to their bad deeds, and it puts a stop to their evil. They're going to watch it. So that's why the red light cameras, it actually gives people taqwa. RTA taqwa. Yes. Not, of course, taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla in that sense. So that's why, subhanAllah, belief in Allah on the last day is crucial. And not just that, you won't just focus on your deeds in general. You're going to pay attention to the small deeds. Surah Al-Zalzala starts, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَلَهَا, which is the day of judgment. And how does it end? فَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. A person who will actually see an atom's weight or a speck's worth of good and evil. So it starts by talking about this huge event, yeah, this big thing, Day of Judgment, and it goes into this little detail, which is the atom's weight of good or atom's weight of evil. Because a person who believes in accountability is going to even watch those small deeds, subhanAllah. The small deeds. And this is what the kafir will say, Yawm al-Qiyamah. Okay, good. The kafir will say, Yawm al-Qiyamah, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. What's with this book of deeds of mine? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. It didn't leave out a single thing, whether small or large, except it's archived it, it's preserved it. Small things, my dear brothers, if the small deeds are going to be magnified on that day, examine the small stuff. Imagine the big stuff. Imagine the major sins. Inshallah. So therefore, belief in accountability, it makes you aware, and it gives you, it puts you on guard for not just big deeds, but small deeds. And that's the beauty of Surah Al-Zalzala, starting with a big event, and then it ends with small things, subhanAllah, big and small. And usually when there's an earthquake, what do people do? They grab that which is valuable and big and important, yeah? Maybe family, friends, maybe a laptop. Not small things, true? Small things are usually deemed unimportant, or you don't even see them, or they're not valuable. But on that day, the ultimate earthquake, even the small things are going to be examined. Ora surah, Surah Al-Zalzala. Well, there's a lot I wanted to say about this, but because this hadith doesn't only deal with the last day, we'll move on. But the fact that, my dear brothers, you'll see all your deeds, even the small, what does that show you? Al-Imam Al-Tahawi said, every person, every human is between Allah's fadl and adl. What's fadl and what's adl, shabab? Fadl? Yeah, bounty and grace. Very good. In other words, you're between Allah's bounty and mercy, His fadl, and adl, which is? Correct. Justice. Every human. When Allah blesses you with something, it's from His fadl. When Allah punishes you for something, it's from His adl. If you end up in hellfire, it's from Allah's adl. He can do what He wants. And it's out of His adl. And if Allah gives you Jannah, it's from His fadl. So on the Day of Judgment, everyone will see their good and bad. And that's from Allah's fadl and adl. So how is it Allah's fadl? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla won't rip you off of your good deeds. You're going to see them. You're going to see your good deeds. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. The khayr you will see. And you also see the deeds that Allah multiplied for you. That's out of His mercy. So you'll see a deed, Allahu Akbar, I did that and Allah gave me 700 times a reward. Allah accepted that year, Laylatul Qadr. Allahu Akbar, that's out of Allah's fadl. He'll multiply and you'll see it. So in other words, Al-Imam al-Tahawi, in his Aqidah Tahawiyyah, he said, every person is between Allah's Fadl and Adl. So you can apply that with everything that Allah Azza wa Jalla does and with His actions and attributes. So you won't on the Day of Judgment just see the final result where you're going to end up, Jannah or Jahannam. No, you're going to see everything that leads up to that. Think of it like when you get a bank statement. You see the credit and debit, credit, debit. You're going to see that and then you're going to see the total. Where do you end up? So the kafir is going to see it as well. He's going to see his good and bad. So my dear brothers, that shows you don't underestimate any good deed. Just a tasbihah. Saying subhanallah, you're going to see that. Saying la ilaha illallah, you're going to see it. And how heavy is tawheed? How heavy is la ilaha illallah? So constantly, as you can see, dhikrullah. And that's what this hadith goes on to mention. If you look at the commentary, among the ways of speaking good is to mention dhikrullah. So that's connected to the Day of Judgment. So speak khayr, speak goodness. There's no room, there's no time for shar. There's no time to backbite. There's no time to speak ill of people. There's no time to swear and curse. Why? Well, we're only harming ourselves. I'm not talking about the instances where it's allowed. We know those are particular times. We're just talking about the times when there's no need and it's sinful. There's no time. Wallah, a person who sins, they're only harming themselves. They don't harm Allah. They're harming themselves and of course they harm others along with it. And that's why it's called hawa. When you follow your hawa, your lusts and desires, tahwi, you fall. That's where the word hawa comes from. Hawa, yahwi in Arabic means to fall. You fall in this world and then you fall in the hereafter in the hawiya. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ. The fire is called Hawiya because when you follow your Hawa, you fall into the Hawiya. See how it's all connected? That's what happens when we sin. And this also shows you the Adl of Allah, that the kafir is going to see the good and bad. He's going to see that which he did was good. He's going to see it. But of course, the fact that he has kufr on his list, it multiplies all of his deeds by zero. When you multiply any number by zero, what do you get? Zero. Allah multiplies the deeds of both. The believer multiplies it. Yeah, it gives him extra. And he multiplies the deeds of the kafir by zero because of kufr. Allah makes all your deeds null and void. They are rewarded in this dunya. But that shows you his adl. Why? Because he's going to see the evidences against him. Allah has been gathering evidence, literally. Allah records everything. It's gathering evidence against the kafir. So he's going to see it. Imagine Allah just credited the kafir, threw him into hellfire. What did I do? But the fact Allah allows him to play it out, you're going to see it. Therefore, you've played it out, you've done it. You're going to witness that, subhanAllah. And this also shows you the justice in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Ultimate justice, that you will see the evidence against you, unlike the so-called Supreme Court of the Tawaghit today, where our believing brothers and sisters are locked up for years on end without seeing any evidence. The evidence does not see the light of day. Why? It's confidential or it's sensitive material. We can't show you. They don't show you anything. You don't see it. But Allah's justice, does He have to show us? He doesn't have to show us a thing. Allah doesn't have to show us anything, but He does out of His adl. How amazing is Allah Azza wa Jalla? How just is Allah? He doesn't have to show anything. He can just do what He wants. He's the master of the universe, yet He shows even the kafir, who's going to end up in hellfire anyway, He shows him. Allahu Akbar. That's amazing. I know what's also amazing is that today, even in courtrooms, the terminology that they use in a court of law, sometimes it's very complex, it's very detailed, and it's very formal. And you don't understand the terminologies that they use in court. You don't understand. But on the Day of Judgment, which is ultimate court day, you won't just see your deeds, you will understand. How? From the word yara, it's implied. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. You will see it. There's other words for that in Arabic. There's shahada, to see. There's absara, to see. There's nazara ila, there's to see. All of these other words, what's the difference? Ru'ya, this is where the word yara came from. Ru'ya. Ru'ya means to see literally and to see metaphorically. It's like in English, you can see something. I can see you now sitting. But you can say, oh, I see. Meaning, I understand. So that's what yara means. That's what ru'ya is. It's to see literally and to see metaphorically. So the kafir and the believer, they will see their deeds and they will see. They'll say, I see. I understand. I stuffed up. They will see and they'll understand. That's the beauty captured in that word yara, subhanAllah. As opposed to the courts of today. Sometimes you go to court, you don't understand why you're there. Our brothers are locked up. They don't know why. What? I don't understand. What's going on? Sah? So this is the ultimate justice of Allah as opposed to the injustice of the kuffar.
Will they speak Arabic on that day, judgment?
Allahu alam. No, but everyone will speak in a way that they they will be able to communicate and they will understand everything. So that word understand, yara, indicates that they will understand. So Allahu alam, that's maybe alim that doesn't really benefit us. There's no real action that's built on that type of knowledge. It doesn't really do anything for our action. So Allahu alam. As you can see, subhanAllah, how important is the last day. So when you know that and you ingrain that in you, what does that do? It makes you speak good or remain tolerant. It makes you honor your neighbor, even if it's a kafir. It makes you honor your guest. In other words, it's going to make you go out of your way to do good, and it's going to make you go out of your way to avoid evil. That's why you see the wisdom of the Prophet ﷺ, why he said, whoever believes in Allah in the last day. He could have just said, speak good or remain tolerant. True? Sometimes we just say that. Akhi, speak good please, bro, or remain tolerant, or just be quiet. Or sometimes we just say it. But look at the wisdom of the Prophet ﷺ. He goes out of his way ﷺ, to mention the last day. There's a reason behind that. So let's look at this now. What does it mean to speak good? There's two parts to this. Speaking good, this khayr. There's two parts to it. But before we take that, the word khayr in Arabic, khayr, is translated as goodness. But it means more than this. Because he could have said, فَلْيَقُرْ حُسْنًا فَلْيَقُرْ جَوْدَةً جَوْدَةً and جُودًا and حُسْنًا. These are other words for goodness. Now, خَيْر in Arabic is connected to خِيرَة. And خِيرَة literally means the cream of the crop. You'll say, الْأَنْبِيَاء خِيرَةُ النَّاسِ. The prophets are the cream of the crop. They are the elite of the people, the best, the top. That's what خِيرَة means. The top, the cream, the elite. And why do they relate? Because they share letters. Kha, al-kha, wal-ya, wal-ra. These are the same letters that are shared in between these two words. In other words, it's not just to speak goodness, it's to speak the best. Speak the cream of the crop. Choose the best words that you can, not just good words. You can have mediocre words, but choose the best words. And it's connected to the word ikhtiyar in Arabic. And what's ikhtiyar? Correct. To select. To choose. And once again, because this word ikhtiyar contained kha, ya, ra. So it's to select the best of the best of your words. That's what the Prophet ﷺ is telling you. He's not just saying speak good. Choose the best words. The best words. So he's showing you be the best even when it comes to speaking. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amazing advice. So what is this, choosing the best of words and the cream of the crop? What does that mean? It's of two parts. فِي الْمَقَالِ نَفْسِهِ وَالْفِي الْمُرَادِ بِهِ. Two parts. In the word itself, make that the best, make that the elite. But not just that, the intent of the word, al-murad, the objective. Why are you saying it? To get to something good and noble as well. In other words, فِي الْمَقَالِ نَفْسِهِ, the word itself should be good. Yes? The good word, literally, in of itself. But sometimes a person may say something which is permissible or it's good, it's not haram. It's good in of itself, but their intended meanings are evil. Sah? Sometimes this happens. A person will say something in a gathering and he's referring to a brother. We all know he's referring to a brother. And he says it. Akhi, why'd you have to expose the brother like that? Oh, I didn't mention his name, bro. What did I say? Was I said wrong? So, the point is that akhi, it's not necessarily just the word, it's al-murad, al-muradu bihi, the intent behind it.
What's the Arabic for the word itself?
Fil maqal, naam. Fil maqal, so maqal al-murad. Maqal is the word itself, another word for qawl. And the intent is al-murad. Or maqsid also. ماذا تقصد يا أخي? Or maqsood rather. Maqsood, that which you intended. So if you remember in Surah Al-Hujurat, one of the Sahaba said to another, Ibn Fulana, the son of a woman. Now isn't everyone the son of a woman? You're the son of your mother. So everyone's the son of a woman. But that has an evil intention behind it, meaning you're a child of zina. So therefore that word wasn't wrong, wasn't bad, but the intent was bad. So as you can see, it's two parts. Now the ulama said, however, at times, the word itself may not be good, but you're using a good intention, therefore this falls in the hadith. As we've already given the example, there's an awkward silence in the room. So you might mention something just to break the ice, just to lighten up the mood. Even though what you're saying is not dhikrullah, it's not doesn't fall under hadith or ayah, but you're just saying it just to lighten the mood. That's okay. That falls in this hadith, as Ibn Uthaymeen mentioned. So you can just ask about the weather, you can just ask about a person's day. This is also intended in the meaning. So therefore, sometimes people say, if you have nothing good to say, it's not beneficial, then don't speak at all. No, at times you can speak, even though it may not be a hadith or an ayah or something that you're benefiting in dunya or deen. It doesn't have to always be the case. But the ulama said, this is where what the people are saying holds truth. That if there's no consequences, meaning you're sitting there in that room and there's no awkward silence and you're just talking for the sake of it and rubbish, talking just nonsense or just talking yani things that aren't beneficial, but they're not evil at the same time. You're just talking for the sake of it. That's blameworthy. So it has to have one of these two, in other words. You either have a good word, or if it doesn't have that, at least make sure the intent behind it is good. You're speaking for a noble reason. In other words, my dear brothers, lesson we can learn is a meaningful silence is better than meaningless words. Meaningful silence is better than meaningless words. And speak only when your words are more beautiful than your silence. So think of it like default, you should remain silent. And that's when you speak, when there's benefit there. As the ulama would say, فَإِنَّ السَّكُوتَ إِن كَانَ الْكَلَامُ مِن فِضَّةَ فَإِنَّ السَّكُوتَ مِن ذَهَبٍ. If words were from silver, then silence is golden. Beautiful phrase and beautiful proverb from the Arabs. And the tongue, how much does it weigh if you were to put it and measure it? A kilo? Much less. The tongue weighs practically nothing, but very few people can hold it. Sah? Allahul Musta'an. Your notes go on to mention some of the ways we can speak good. It goes on to mention not backbiting, not passing on rumors. I heard this, I heard that. That's also falls in hadith, because the Prophet ﷺ also said it's enough of a sin to relate and narrate everything you hear. Oh, did you hear the latest goss? Did you see what's on Facebook? Everything you read, everything you see, everything you hear, that's enough of a sin. We shouldn't do that. So therefore, it's better to just remain silent. Even though what you saw may have had some consequences, but let's not spread it further in the ummah. So it goes on to mention that. But those are clear, which we all know, so I'll leave that to your own reading. Let's look at now the next part of the hadith. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him be good to his neighbor. Love the narration, let him not harm his neighbor. So that means at best, be good to your neighbor, and at least, don't harm your neighbor. Then don't harm them back, because we have principles, and although you can at times take your right, but be better than that. So if they are harming you, like my neighbor, for example, his wife used to always put their mop over on our fence, and all their filth used to fall into my yard. So it's harming me. So what am I going to do, the same? No, I went over and spoke to them. I said, please don't do this. And they stopped. So, you know, we don't always have to, my haq, bro. We don't always have to, you know, blow up. So did we take the hadith, la taghdab? We're going to take that, I think, next week, yeah. So there are ways on how you can stand up for your rights without exploding. So yeah, even if they're harmful to you, akhi, we have usul, we have principles. We are classy, they are classless. So we have etiquettes. So therefore, use these etiquettes. And if you are expecting everyone to treat you the way you want, you're asking for the impossible. People are going to stuff you around. Expect it. Because Allah said this. إِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ. صح? إِذَا. When. It's going to happen. Not if it happens. No. When it happens. Expect it. صح? عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ. It's going to happen. Expect it. Expect the ignoramuses. Right? That's not a word, but we just make it up. So what does this mean? Be good to your neighbor. So here, firstly, who is the neighbor? Opposite, left, right, behind. Who is a neighbor? There is a hadith that says 40 houses from each direction. No. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, of course, this was a small distance. But today, 40 houses in every direction, it's a whole state, probably. It's a whole suburb, right? It's huge. So therefore, Ibn Uthaymeen said, this hadith might have some weakness to it. So, if this hadith is da'if, which it seems, then we go back to al-urf, which is the custom. So, customarily, who do you consider your neighbor? In Sydney, personally, I think my neighbor would be the one directly above, directly to my right, left, and maybe the back. And it depends even how you live. You might live in a townhouse or a flat. So, as you can see, according to your custom, what do you consider the neighbor? That's the neighbor. So, therefore, this hadith, there is some of the ulama said it's weak. So, therefore, Ibn Uthaymeen and the scholars said we go back to the custom of the people. So, your neighbor is the according to you, what you think, according to your custom, the urf. And therefore, it shows you, my dear brothers, al-urfu mu'tabar idh lam yukhalif al-shara. The scholar said, custom, the custom of a people is considered as long as it doesn't go against the sharia. You know, some brothers say Islam came to wipe out all customs, every single custom, because it's all jahiliyyah. No, Islam came to just wipe out the customs of jahiliyyah, which were evil, not the good customs. So there are good customs among the Arabs. Among the customs of the Arabs was to honor the neighbor, sah, and to honor the guests. That was a custom among the Arabs. So Islam came to build on that, so much so that the Prophet mentioned it in the hadith. But when there's a bad custom, like the hubbly bubbly, argila, that's a bad custom. So therefore, that's what Islam came to remove, of course. But it's not as if Islam came to wipe out all customs. Yeah, brother. Al-urfu mu'tabar? Naam. Al-urfu mu'tabar. It's considered. Idh lam yukhalif al-shara. As long as it doesn't oppose the sharia. Okay. So if a custom opposes the sharia, like we said, the hubbly bubbly, argila, that opposes the sharia, it's not considered. But if it doesn't oppose the sharia at all, and it's considered, it's taken into consideration, in other words. Like traveling. You find the hadith, the traveler, is this such a distance? Really, the traveler, what's a distance for the traveler? What you consider to be travel. So if you're traveling, do you consider yourself a traveler or not? So, for example, leaving Sydney to Melbourne, is that travel? Yeah, it is. We all know that's clearly travel. When you're going to Melbourne, you're traveling. What about Wollongong? Some brothers say no, some brothers say yes. So some brothers, to them, it's a hike to Wollongong. Maybe they don't have a car, you see? So to them, to go by bike or to go by walking, whatever, that's a hike and a half. Or some brother may live at the furthest end of Sydney. But to me personally, it's not I don't consider it travel for me. But some people do. Therefore, you see how there's difference? It goes back to the custom at the end of the day. So that's the neighbor. So if they are harming you, then go about it in a nice way. Don't try to blow the situation out of proportion. Now, you might ask, how do I honor the neighbor? Once again, the hadith as I mentioned. This is called nakira. We've already discussed that. What's nakira? It's not specified. Good, it's open. In other words, honor your neighbor according to your abilities, what you can afford and what is according to your custom. That's how you honor your neighbor. So for example, the Arab overseas, it's among the custom to, when you cook a dish, you send some next door, yeah? But you do that here. You know, one sister, she started to do it when she came from overseas, and her neighbor was, an Aussie man, and he, Australian man, who lived on his own. You know, a week later, he came to her house and said, please stop sending food. You know, it's too much. So that was actually, it's not considered from the Australian etiquette to do that. Right? But, so it's according to the custom. So you also got to look at the neighbor. How are their customs? So it depends. For example, it could be, it's not just food and drink. There's other things. For example, you may be mowing the lawn. You may be mowing the lawn. I don't know what I said. It's been a long day. I've been teaching since the morning. And then Labib, rahimahullah, you know, got me to go to UWS, which I love, by the way. And by the way, rahimahullah doesn't necessarily mean he died. Yeah. It's just making dua, may Allah have mercy on him. I said this is a good way. So, I mean, yeah. So anyway, when you are mowing the lawn, and there's a section, for example, that's really like going into your yard, and it's for the neighbor, you just do it for him anyway. And this is sometimes it's customarily among the neighbors that they do that. They just, when it's their turn, they'll also mow your lawn. And when it's your turn, you also mow their lawn. Or sometimes you find you take out the rubbish and the neighbor hasn't done that and the truck's coming. You'll take it out for him. So these are all just examples. It's according to the custom. Just be good to your neighbor. And wallah, if every Muslim was like that, how many people would accept Islam? If we're just good to our neighbors, just be good to your neighbor. You may, when you move in, if anyone's moving recently, when you move in, take something, take some cake and say, look, I'm your neighbor, just want to let you know, here you go, as a token of my appreciation. For example.
And they meant to do it?
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. Okay, who's meant to do that? It's according to the custom. Or whatever the custom dictates. And finally, goodness to the guest. I want to take this next week so we don't go into Quran. We'll just take it now. Take it now, finish it. Okay. The hadith finally goes on to mention, whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him be good to his guest as well. Your guest. Now, who is the guest? The one who visits you, Islamically, is a guest. Anyone who visits, whether they invited or not. Uninvited guests are still guests. No, he didn't even call me, bro. I'm not opening the door. He's a guest. Anyone who visits is a guest. In other words, even workmen, electrician, the plumber, they're coming to work. They're visiting your house. They are considered guests. So therefore, honor them. The guy's sweating, working hard, think, bro, I'm going to get my money's worth out of this bloke. No, give him some drink. Give him some water. Say, look, have a break. You know, furniture removalist, for example. So someone who's visiting you. Someone who's visiting you, they've come over. They've come over, they are considered a guest. A guest. So you should honor them. Now, how do you honor them? This is important. How do you honor them? Try to give them the best of what you have according to your means. Not give them the best. Give them your best. Because some people don't have the best. They are poor. Sah? They are poor. Like when I was in Egypt, I ate at the Bawab's house. The Bawab was the doorman. Now, we don't have really doormen here, so it's very hard to imagine unless you go overseas and you see it. They're not just doormen where they open the door. They actually live literally underneath the building with their family, and they, if you need anything, they just do it for you. You want some shopping, you want some milk. They do your dirty work, basically. You got some laundry. They live very poor, subhanAllah. And he invited me, the Bawab, and out of, you know, common courtesy, I accepted his invitation, and he invited me to sit, and subhanAllah, the house was very bad. You know, very, very bad. Very bad standard. Just cement as their house. Just cement. And, you know, barely a rug to sit on. And the stove and was like, wasn't even a stove. It was just like some, you know, what are they? Those bottles of gas. What are they called?
Kerosene.
Yeah, the kerosene bottles. That was it. That was his stove. It was very poor conditions. But that was it. And he really went out of his way to honor me. And subhanAllah, that's honoring the guest. He believes in Allah on the last day. It's not about, yeah, I want the best food, bro. No, no, no. No, he gave me no frills. Okay, maybe no frills was his best. He gave me black and gold from IGA. Sorry, man. Right? That's to him the best. That's to him the best. Right? So let's not look down on people. So for them, they're the best. So are they going out of their way? But if you know you got something cheap and you got something good, and you deliberately give him the cheap stuff, or I'll give him the open bottle, less fizz. I want to keep the fizz for me. No. Give them the best. So we know what it means. Give them your best. Doesn't have to necessarily be the best. You see the difference? Your personal best. Your PB, right? That's what you should do. And it's what Ibrahim alayhi salam did. When he got the angels, who were they? They were guests because they visited him. The angels were guests. What did he do? He went and got them the best animal, and he slaughtered it. And notice, he didn't even ask them. He said, what would you like to eat? You know, roast chicken, beef? No. The ulama said, don't even ask your guest. Just give them. This is another etiquette you can add to this list. لا تسأل الضيف. Don't ask. Just give. أكرمه. The ulama said, if you were going to ask, you'd ask something like, would you like something cold or hot to drink? You see, that's a question you'd ask. Because if you say, would you like some tea? What are they going to say? No, thank you. Out of shyness. See? So therefore, it's better not to ask, just give. But if you are going to ask, say, would you like tea or coffee? That's something you would ask. So these are some of the etiquettes the ulama said about honoring the guest. Also, another couple of issues about the guest. Who do you start with? If everyone is seated and arranged, you start with the right. This is according to the hadith. So it's not just the custom of the Arabs. Shoo, what you doing? Is I starting with... No. It's not just the custom of the Arabs. This is actually a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ would start with the right. He would offer to the right. As Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Prophet ﷺ would prefer and favor the right, his right hand and right, in all noble things. However, if the people aren't seated and gathered in a way where it's arranged, they're just all over the place, they're just scattered, like, for example, a walima or aqiqa, you start with the eldest. Start with the eldest. Once the Prophet ﷺ said to one of the Sahaba, kabbir, kabbir. Yani start with the kabir, the eldest, because he wanted to give a miswak to someone. He said, kabbir, meaning start with the kabir, the eldest. And this is part of honoring Allah. Inna min ijlalillahi ta'ala ikrama dhi shaybatil muslim. Authentic narration, whoever wants to honor Allah, you honor the one with white hair, meaning the older person. So go kiss his head. You finally comes into the room, nowhere to sit. You think, who is this guy going to sit, man? No, you give him your seat. You give him your seat. This is how we honor the elder.
Chef, what if there's like a U sort of shaped seating arrangement and your parents are sitting in the middle, there's people on either side?
So good question.
You want to offer them some food or whatever, you have.
No.
You start with the right.
Okay, here it'll depend. Here it'll depend on your culture and it'll depend on the custom, because it depends. Among the Arabs or the Bengalis or the Pakistanis, it's different. So Allahu Alam on how it is for each culture, but you'll do it in a way where you don't cause fitna. So among the Arabs, if you don't start on the right, or you don't start with the elder who's in the room, or the sheikh, or your parents, that is considered rude. So therefore, in that case, where there's a conflict, you do it, the Sharia doesn't want you to cause conflict. So you'll do that in a way, you'll do that in a way that minimizes that conflict. If you can do it according to the sunnah, that doesn't cause conflict, excellent. But if it is, at the end of the day, this is something which is sunnah, it's not something which is fard, in the sense when we say sunnah, meaning optional, that is good. But it's not fard. But you should do it like this. But remember, it goes back to the custom, because the Prophet ﷺ kept it open. He said, honor. Do it in the way that's honoring the people. Now finally, manners of the visitor. So we've looked at you hosting someone, but what about if someone's hosting you? Quickly, some manners. Alhamdulillah. Any tissues, Shabbat? Sorry, none here. The visitor. So when visiting, what do? Now, it's customarily today to call beforehand, yeah? This is what we usually do. You know, to just rock up is not really the best way to approach visiting someone. You know, ring the doorbell, they open it, got the wife and kids everywhere. Okay, we're here to visit. Right? So, call beforehand, give them some time to clean up. Because as we all know, everyone cleans up when the doorbell rings, yeah? Yallah, hurry up, right? That's the best cleaning you do ever, right? When someone comes. So, give them some time. Call beforehand. Also, when you arrive, don't arrive too early or too late. Okay? Now, too early, they're still cooking, for example. It's uncomfortable. Firstly, with me, it's very difficult. When people arrive an hour early, you know, nothing's ready and you're not even dressed and the house is like a bomb. The point is, don't arrive too early to your visitors, Don't arrive too early when visiting. Don't arrive too late either. Let's say 7, maybe 7:10, 7:15, but you know, 9 o'clock and the food's all cold now, you're leaving the people waiting for 2 hours, that's overdone. Number 3, when you get to the house, knock 3 times. We all know this is from the sunnah. But not just that. If they ask who it is, you should say your name. This is actually a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, say your name, don't say I, say Anna. You're not allowed to say Anna, me, it's me. It's open, it's me. No. Say your name, subhanAllah. And there's wisdom behind that. Because someone could say me, and that person behind the door thinks, oh, it sounds familiar, I know that person. They open it, it's not there. It's not them. It could be a stranger, maybe non-mahram, whatever the case may be. So you knock 3 times, but you say your name when asked. You say your name when asked. Now, when you knock, what else do you do if you're asked? When you knock, you turn away. This is from etiquette's. Not necessarily from a hadith, but this is something the scholars have mentioned now. So I've been mentioning things from the hadith, but also things that the scholars mentioned. So turn away. Why? Because sometimes someone like a child may open the door, and if you're knocking and you're standing there gawking, you're going to see something that you're not supposed to. Because sometimes kids open the door. So you don't knock and just wait. So therefore, it's from etiquette to knock and turn away. And I experienced this in Egypt, subhanAllah, and I learned that from there. When someone would knock and I'd look through the hole, I couldn't see anyone. What's going on? Do they have knock and run here in Egypt? I don't think so. They don't know that. And I wouldn't see anyone because they actually, we didn't just turn away. They went around the corner. Adab. They don't want to see something. So yeah, look at the adab. So turn away, you may see something, whether intentionally or unintentionally, but there's wisdom behind that. Six. If you do happen to arrive uninvited, then maybe ask, is this a good time? Or in fact, even if you arrive as an invited guest. So when you arrive, ask, is this a good time? That's among the etiquettes you can also write down. Now when you enter, don't ask personal questions. Don't be a busybody. As we know, min husni islam al-mar tarakuhu ma la ya'ni. Don't be nosy. So sometimes people walk in and they're looking around and they're checking out everything. Wallah, mashabushi. How do you afford this place? Yeah? They're checking out everything. Right? MashaAllah. Right? Some people do that. Don't be a busybody, you know, or nosy. So don't look around too much, you know, and don't ask too many personalized questions. But how can you afford that on your salary? Okay, maybe it was a gift. We don't know. Okay, very good. That was the next point. You ask Allah to bless their house. So if you see something nice, ask Allah to bless it. Say, Barakallahu laka, may Allah bless this for you. May Allah bless your beautiful home. So that's for that's part of complimenting. So you ask Allah to bless it, and you can compliment. And in fact, this is a great way to capture people's hearts, is to compliment them, but not praise. There's a big difference. You can praise someone, you're so knowledgeable, brother. But you can compliment them. Oh, mashallah, that's a nice perfume you've got on, for example. Well, because people, when they dress up, you know, when you come over or when they fix their house, they're doing it for you. So therefore, to go out of your way to notice that and say, you know, I really appreciate, you know, the food, and this is actually a good thing. And this is what Muhammad al-Arifi, hafizullah, mentions in his book, Don't Be Sad. It's a very good book on how to give da'wah. And he mentioned all of these beautiful points. You must buy this book. If you're involved in da'wah and you want to know how to capture people's hearts, he's got all of these very good points, and they're very brief, on how to win people's hearts. Among them is to remember their name, remember people's names, and also to compliment, but not praise, is the difference. Yes, correct. Oh, sorry. So this book by Muhammad al-Arifi is Istamti' bi Hayatik, Enjoy Your Life. Did I say don't be sad? Sorry, I meant enjoy your life. Also, don't stay too long. And we'll end here. No. Don't overwelcome your stay. Or is it overstay your welcome? Which one? Is it? Yeah. Don't overstay your welcome. Don't stay too long. The ulama would say, in zurta, fakhafif. In zurta, fakhafif. If you visit, then keep it brief. Yes.
What if they ask you?
Sometimes people ask you because it's just out of custom. It's like the Arabs say, Taddal, Taddal. Meaning, come in, come in. They don't really mean it. And he, okay, what are you doing? No, that's right, yeah. That's right, leave it on us. Especially in Egypt, this happened a lot. Khali alayna. They're just saying it as words. So you have to judge according to the situation. So in Egypt, khali alayna, leave it on us, meaning we'll pay for it. Okay. You walk off. No, it's not. Okay. And I did that with one guy. I didn't know. Because when I first arrived in Egypt, you have to get used to the etiquettes. He said, khali alayna, leave it on us. Meaning, don't worry, I'll give it to you for free. Okay, jazakallah khairan. And I walked up, he goes, whoa, where are you going? Okay. Wallahi, at the baker. Wallahi, the brothers were there. Because I was a student, I was doing it tough, you know. So the point is, it depends. Sometimes people mean it. If you're close with them, they'll say, "Akhi, please stay," and you got that relationship. But sometimes people say it, you got to judge. But this is as a general rule. Sometimes you can, of course, stay, but you have to be careful because you have to remember people have lives as well. Not just you. You have to remember people have kids. They have to wake up early. They have to go to bed as well. So especially when you visit with your kids and you're visiting people with kids. When you have kids, you realize that. Sayyid Abdul, you realize once you get kids, you brothers with kids know this. Once you get kids and people stay too long, it's very hard because...
No visitors.
What is it?
Visitors are not allowed.
What is it?
Visitors are not allowed.
Yeah, wallahi. And that's why ever since I've got kids, I hardly get visitors. I don't get visitors because it's very difficult. You know, and it's all the cleaning up after and the putting the kids to bed. So you have to put yourself in other people's shoes. But of course, sometimes, yes, you can stay depending on the situation. That's why it goes back to the custom. So how long do you stay? Question, according to the custom. So I personally, with me, just so you know, I like to visit maybe for 40 minutes. You know, I like to just keep it short and sweet. Why? Because it makes them want to invite you again. Right? Maybe an hour, right? But it makes them want to invite you again. But if you stay for 5 hours till 2 a.m, and this happens, then they think, I want to invite Busy Regan. No, wow, I'm not inviting that bloke ever. Bro, he killed me that time. 2 a.m, he kept talking. He didn't want to stop. So you leave bad impressions. So we ask Allah to make us among those who that have amazing character with the Creator and with the creation. Amen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.